Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Athletic Studio podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Kate Oman.
I'm Gordon Jomini Wong.
In today's episode, we'll talk all things muscle building tips. So we'll give a 5 rapid fire kind of quick episode, all things about muscle building. But before we get into it, Gordon, give us a little wrap up of your week. Any wins, any clients that you want to tell us about?
What's definitely. Going on here? First of all, thanks for leaving me hanging last week. Kate,
yes,
good to have you back.
Good to be back.
A lot easier to have a podcast host rather than
just talking by yourself.
Exactly. But no, it was a good episode last week, actually.
Oh, good.
Proud of myself.
I'll have a listen.
Yeah. Oh, she hasn't even listened to the podcast.
No, I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah. I gave a little shout out to your Glow Health.
Oh, thank you.
It's not Glow Health, Glow Project.
Yeah.
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 First of all, Kate, because I did a really shit explanation of it. I gave it a bit of a plug, but I probably didn't explain it as well as what you could have. Yeah. Give us the details on what it is.
Yeah. So long story short, it is a ring protector basically. So it slips over either if you're wearing an engagement ring, wedding band, aura ring, whatever kind of ring that you're wearing in the gym, it kind of slips over. It's a silicon band and it is there to protect your rings and your jewels and any weight that you're picking up, any Pilates reformer that you're pressing against, that's what it's for.
Yeah. You know, on the Instagram account, you can see how it's used and we have a lot of clients here that are already got a glow guard to protect their rings. So.
100%. It's been so nice to see them around the studio. So it's been good.
Where can they get it?
You can get them via the link on my Instagram. It's also glowprojectco.shop on the web browser. So little shout out for that. No, it's going really well. And I've had some really good feedback, which is always nice.
Yeah, amazing. So go get yourself a glow guard. All right, guys. So we always have client wins here, Kate. That's what we're all about at Athletic Studio.
That's
one that really stands out is with our Coach Cal. Recently, we have a client who a professional job. I think he's an executive at some like IT or engineering company and had taken a fair bit of time off training, gained some weight. I think he'd been focusing on family or his career. And he started with us about 120. And our goal is to get to about underneath 100. He's only been training with us for 2 months. And I think he's down to about 108 right now. Yeah. But look, the weight loss progress is great. But I think the way about the coaching Cal has implemented and the structure that we've given Pratik is probably like a good learning for our audience. He only trains twice per week as well and then probably just does his steps and then just focusing on healthy meal structure and just giving him some structure around that. And let's say he's checked in or does a scan every 2 weeks. And I think between his 2 scans ago, Cal told me that he did lose a little bit of motivation because he only lost 1 kilo in 2 weeks.
Very normal.
Yeah, and it's definitely very normal. And what some people can do is they can freak out, or if you have an inexperienced coach, they can drastically make big changes, which probably wouldn't be necessary. And I think Coach Cal's advice to Pratik was, look, you're training in the right direction. You're still losing weight. If it's not difficult for you to keep doing what you're doing, let's just keep going for another 2 weeks and see how we go. And then all of a sudden, I think they've implemented a pizza each week and a couple of refeed meals as well. And from the second last scan to his latest scan in 2 weeks, he lost another 3 kilos.
Yeah.
So sometimes you will hit those little plateaus, or you don't necessarily need to lose 2-3 kilos every week as well, you know.
And for most people, it's probably like they can't. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially look with this particular person with Pratik, you know, they've got more weight to lose. So it's actually it's going to come off a lot faster at that particular rate as well. Yeah, so.
So well done, Cal. That's amazing.
What about yourself, Kate? Have you heard of any wins yourself or from any of the other coaches?
If you start personally, I have a anti-win, which is I ruined my ankle on the weekend. I'm into rehab, which is like fine, doing lots of calf raises, single leg stuff. It's just one of those things that you go through in your training. It just teaches you more. Like now I know more as to what I could prescribe for clients. So it's always like in a way, although it's negative for me, it can come with positives. Other wins would be, definitely getting Glow up and running and getting back into, I feel like, the groove of my training and nutrition. That's been good. What about yourself?
Oh, I'm getting stronger with my training. I lost 1 kilo.
So nice.
Each week I say, look, next week I'm going to start my nutrition. I don't have a really solid deadline date.
Yeah, that's when it's hard.
I have a free meal and then I'm probably like 85, 90% on my nutrition.
That's pretty good for the most part.
Yeah.
What was your free meal? Not sushi that you left at your front
door. No, I think it was Mexican.
Yeah. No food poisoning this time.
Me and Emily, my wife, are going to go to Dubai at the end of October for a bit of a fitness business kind of seminar there. And then it gives me a reason to get into really good shape.
Yeah. It's always like a lot easier, I think, when you have something in mind, like a goal in mind.
Mm.
Like it's great to be like working towards your health and fitness all the time, but it gives you that extra push and drive and determination, especially when it's like winter outside and you're like, I don't want to go for my steps.
Yeah.
It just pushes you to go.
Yeah. And look, no excuses for our Northern Hemisphere listeners as well. Like you guys are heading into summer, so just got to be active and get out there and make sure you're strict with your nutrition and training as well. So that's a good thing. I'm not completely out of shape, but also we're filming a lot more YouTube content as well. So you guys can check that out on YouTube. And you've probably already seen Holly's training. I think Sam's got a video coming up.
Yeah.
I've got to get a couple of the guys on there and then, you know, your videos too.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to miss out on that. So maybe that's probably another good reason, you know, for me to get into like really good shape and then I can do some great training videos too. I see that as another reason to help out with the content as well.
Yeah. Love it. Should we get into today's episode?
Let's do it. Let's get straight into it.
All right. 5 muscle building tips. Do you want to take us away?
Yeah. 5 muscle building tips. This is more for specifically in training. More commonly, people would think, yes, I need to be in a calorie surplus and then train and then they'll build muscle. But that's not necessarily the case because intensity has a lot to do with it, making sure that you are like training hard enough. And also another common thing is that even though you're at a calorie surplus, you actually got to hit your protein intake.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't hit their protein intake.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really easy to be like, oh, I'm putting on size and kind of people get a bit distracted and just tend to overeat and not still. I think even as we speak to a fat loss phase is just as important as a muscle building phase in terms of hitting your nutrition. Like you've got to make sure you're still nailing that protein intake and having good macronutrients to fuel your sessions because intensity of sessions is, as you said, huge. Like muscle just does not grow by itself. So we're going to chat to that today.
These are the tips or strategies that we implement in the studio or with our coaching clients is when people think of progressive overload, sometimes they just think of, I just need to keep getting stronger. But sometimes you don't necessarily need to keep getting stronger. You just want to make it a little bit more difficult for your muscles to feel like they're under stress. So obviously increasing the weight each week and training close to failure, 1 to 2 reps off failure is a good way to progressively overload, obviously tracking your performance. But the first thing, a strategy that we would probably implement is actually sticking to a tempo or a time under tension and also working to continually improve your range of motion each week.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's easy to just go through. If you were to talk about a bench press, doing say like half reps, not hitting that full range, and you can easily increase weights over time. But that, as you said, won't necessarily relate to building muscle. So getting like full range, coming down for 4 seconds, even adding a pause, things like that. I think people, as you said, just use weight as an indication to progress. But getting, full range and more time within the movement is super underrated. Mm.
So let's say someone is benching 100 kilos. I'm going to say not myself, but our coach Luca can definitely, who's behind the camera, he can certainly bench 100 kilos. 1 week he benches 100 kilos for 5 reps, but it's only at 50% range of motion.
Mm.
And then the next week he does it and he goes down a little bit further to 75% range of motion, nearly touching his chest, even though it's the same weight, but because he's working more range of motion, it's still progressive overload as well.
And he's going to find that more challenging. But I think that's why it's really important to make sure you're moving well within the full range to start. And that's, of course, why we think personal trainers, getting a trainer is always a good thing so they can keep an eye on you.
Yeah. And then this can really help with your programming too because sometimes if you are feeling really, let's say, fatigued, sore, tired, and then in your next program, you can just think, all right, maybe if I just stick to the same, I can do similar weights, but the purpose will just be to add a pause or add a hold at the bottom of the movement or improve my range of motion if my squat like isn't as deep as it should be. Then that would be a good way to progress as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
To our second point, drop sets and rest pause. I know we touched on it. When would you implement this into a training?
I'd implement it as when someone's competent with utilizing barbells, they've got really good training intensity. So with a drop set, let's say if you do 4 sets of a particular exercise, let's say it's an incline dumbbell press, you're doing 4 sets and the rep range is like 10, right? 10 to 12. You want to make sure, first of all, your fitness levels, there's not a big drop off between set one and then set four. So you do want to maintain, let's say your highest intensity is around 25 kilo dumbbells and you can do four sets at 10 to 12 reps. That gives me a good indicator that you would be ready for something like drop sets. What you could do there is maybe for sets three and four, or the last set, set four. So you do as many reps as possible within that rep range, let's say 10 to 12 with that maximum weight. And then you might reduce the weight again by another 20%. So if you're starting at 25, you might go to 20 or 17.5 and then do aim to hit that same rep range, 10 to 12. Or you might have specific reps in the drop that you would prescribe to yourself. So it could be like 10, 8, 8 or like 10, 8, 6, depending on the person.
Yeah, for sure. And that absolutely cooks that muscle part, that muscle group.
Yeah.
For sure. And rest pauses.
Yeah, rest pause is really good to improve your strength as well. So this can be really helpful for someone if they don't have a spotter, especially if a flat bench press or even a squat. So let's say you're aiming to do 8 reps in total. You might do 2 reps, pause for 10 seconds, 2 reps, pause for 10 seconds, and then repeat that cycle for 2 more times. So they're doing 8 reps in total. So by doing that, they should be able to lift a heavier load rather than doing the continuous 8 reps.
Yeah, 100%. And it can also be used, I think, towards the end of sets. So I love doing this to my clients on the hamstring curl or the leg extension, finishing their set, resting for 10 seconds, going for another set, resting for 10. Like, it's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I think the one thing that, Kate, you got to prepare your clients for it. There's nothing like...
nothing worse.
I've been told off as a coach, you know. You didn't tell me I had to do another set.
Too bad, buddy.
You can't really just spring it on.
No. But if it's program, I program it all the time.
Yeah, you program.
Especially, shout out to Jill. She absolutely hates it.
Oh, really?
She hates it, but so funny.
Yeah.
And our next method, pre-exhaust method.
Yeah, pre-exhaust method is you're exhausting the muscle part that you're focusing on or that you want to train before you get into your strength or hypertrophy performance-based sets. With a workout structure, let's say normally you have your strength or your performance-based workouts in the A's and it's going to be like lower number, 6 to 8, 8 to 10. But with a pre-exhaust method, you might do 3 or 4 sets of, if I was doing a squat, I'll do 3 or 4 sets of a leg extension for 12, 15 reps, really exhausting it, lactic acid sets, and then go into your performance-based squats in a pre-fatigued state.
That is just so brutal.
I don't know. Like, I haven't done it in a while. I don't know who would do that.
Yeah. But like, it goes to show if you want to put on decent muscle, like, you have to train like this.
Oh, 100%.
Like, it is hard work.
Yeah. Okay, good thing to do is just have a look at the bodybuilders that train and look at the intensity that they're training.
100%. I mean,
you don't, like, obviously no one's taking steroids or anything, but even if you did take steroids and you didn't train like that, they wouldn't get the body transformations that they get.
Yeah, they train so hard. So,
yeah. The training.
Yeah, muscle group specific. Mm. And obviously controlling our rest periods and the density.
So. Yep. So I could probably, like, my coach Holly, who trains me in the studio. So if I was training legs on my own, I would rest a lot longer subconsciously or consciously. If my rest time says 2 minutes, I might go out to 2:30, 3 minutes. And then so the whole workout might last for... 1 week could be an hour, the next week could be an hour and 15, blah, blah, blah. When you're like on the clock and you're really controlling your rest periods, that's a controlled variable. So what happens is that you're just always training within that hour. So if you're always getting stronger within that hour, then that's an overload.
True.
Yeah. So you're doing, or if you're doing more sets within that hour, you're doing more volume within the same period of training.
100%. Do you track your rests when you're training by yourself?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. No, but I think having a stopwatch with you is so powerful because, like, you'd be so surprised how quickly 2 minutes goes.
Oh.
So quickly, especially like after a big set of, say, if you're doing back squats, oh my God, 2 minutes does not seem like enough. But
yeah, and the first time that you do this, guys, it's shit.
Yeah,
but
it's hard.
It's really hard, but you'll be surprised. Your body really adapts to it
and
then your fitness levels get better.
100%. It's not just strength, but it is fitness as well.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like cardio at times, but it definitely feels amazing after doing it consistently.
Mm. So these are just different stimuluses that you can apply, because there are people out there and different coaches, maybe on different podcasts, that they might say, look, just have fully complete rest, right? And then go out there and do your set. As long as you're getting stronger, that's better. But that's only they're only focusing on one way of progressive overloading, which is just increasing the weight on the bar. Not everyone has time to rest that long and to get stronger as well. I think we've got one more tip, which is changing the stimulus of your training. So this could be utilizing different bars, pauses, adding quarter reps. Do you want to give the listeners a couple of examples of maybe the bars that we have at Athletic Studio?
Yeah, 100%. So most commonly, we obviously see the straight barbell. We both have them in 20 kilos and 15. That could be a progression in itself. We also use things like the safety bar for the back squat and the trap bar deadlift. So like a progression, if we start on like a high block trap bar deadlift, that's where we usually start our clients. It's just like more of a natural position for them to be in. Then we would definitely progress them to a straight bar, which will become in front of their body. So it's very similar in a way, but just like the difference in where they grip or where their center of gravity is can really change the movement. Yeah, also adding pauses. So for instance, an RDL, if you're doing that with a bar, like you start with your dumbbells, then go to your barbells, and then adding a pause at the bottom of the movement whilst you're in that full stretch is another change of stimulus you can add, or even adding a quarter rep. So increasing that range, time under tension, things like that.
Yeah, very overlooked elements. And these are just great tools as well. So where you don't necessarily need to keep adding excessive weight, because that can also produce injuries too.
Yeah.
I think on my program at the moment, there's a walking lunge with quarter reps at the bottom. I'm going from a pendulum squat into dumbbells walking lunges with a quarter rep. And yeah, it's really hard.
Brutal. 100%.
Yeah.
Doing your quarter reps was so brutal until after.
And also, if you're training in a gym, guys, you can make sure like they ask the gym manager to get a variety of different bars. So just for example, with the squat, you can have a safety squat bar, a cambered bar. So you put the bar, they go on your back, but the loading is different. Like the loading can be more towards the middle, towards the front of your body. It can be hanging down a little bit further as well. So it just changes the leverage of where the load is. You're going to enjoy your training a lot more as well.
Yeah.
Because you're experiencing something new.
Yeah, so you're not doing the same thing day in, day out. Even just adding a quarter rep, so much more riveting.
Yeah.
Maybe not with lunges, but for instance, a bench press, adding a quarter rep.
Yeah.
It really increases. You'll be surprised when you go back to that normal just single rep with no quarter reps, how much stronger you feel at that same weight or just increase. So
yeah, that's right. Similar to the example of with Luca at the start, if you increase the range of motion, if you can do 100 kilos for 5 reps with a normal bench press, and if you can get up to even 90 kilos or 90 kilos to 100 kilos with a quarter rep at the bottom, you're not necessarily exceeding your bench press weight, but because you're doing a more complicated movement, you're probably stronger because you can do that complicated movement at the same weight.
Yeah, you'll probably in turn be able to bench more than 100 with a normal 100%. Rep.
Yeah. These are some muscle building amplifiers.
They're spicy, but they're fun. Definitely encourage you guys to give them a go. And if you do, let us know. Send us a DM on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But anything else to add?
Well, that's it.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, guys, for listening, and we'll catch you in our next pod.
Thanks, guys.
If you found this episode useful, it would mean the world to us if you shared, rated, and liked this podcast. It's how we keep it alive.
Also, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Athletic Studio. We'd love to connect with you and see how your fitness and health improves with this newfound knowledge. Until next time.